I'm resting safe and warm. Though I must face the circumstances and the problems with the rain. Lord, I know you're always with me, and you'll see me through again. Increase my faith, hold me tighter by the hand, and pull me closer to your bosom when I don't understand. Shine your light a little brighter when the darkness I face. Help me never doubt your power, oh Lord, increase my faith. Give me patience through long suffering as I walk in your grace. If I stumble on my journey, let me fall to your embrace. Give me courage like a lion when my back is to the wall. Help me realize through faith it will be worth it after all. Increase my faith, hold me tighter by the hand, and pull me closer to your bosom when I don't understand. Shine your light a little brighter when the darkness I face. Help me never doubt your power, oh Lord, increase my faith. Help me never doubt your power, oh Lord, increase my faith.
Thank you, ladies. I don't very often call my wife a lady, but she is. Love her very much. Come about Monday, I've known her for about 28 years now, and I've enjoyed every moment of it. And I've known Martha close to that long, but not quite, but I've enjoyed her association also. And I've always enjoyed their talent for music. I've always been amazed when we sang, us and the Bruners together, how those two girls could sing a song and how their voices blended so well. And I've always appreciated that. We had a hard time telling who was singing lead, and they'd switch on us in the middle of a song, so it was hard to keep up with. But I've always appreciated their beautiful voices. You know, if somebody asked me to describe humility, I guess I could sum it up in two words, and I'm not trying to give Rick the big head, but Rick is a humble servant of Jesus Christ. I've seen that witnessed many times in his service. I now have the pleasure of serving with him in the bishopric and serving the church, the people of the church. And I know that Rick is sincere in his endeavors to serve you. Gone many times to Africa and the foreign missions, and know that his desire is to serve God. We all know Rick Olson, but we need to lift him up in prayers this evening. Anytime anyone stands behind this pulpit to preach the gospel, they need the prayers of God. So I would ask that you would give him your careful attention, that you would stay alert, and that you would listen to the things that he has taken the time from his life to prepare of God to bring to you. So I give to you now this evening our brother Rickles.
Well, that was an introduction I hadn't expected. I don't really think of myself as being humble. And that just happens to be the subject of the my sermon tonight. And while I prepared it, I felt that it was much for me as anybody else. And for Alan to say such a thing, I know he didn't mean to, but this is his fault. So if you'd excuse me. I'm a little nervous. This is the largest group of people I've ever stood in front of. But I can also know that this is probably the largest group of loving people that I've ever stood in front of. And I know that I know many of you, and I know we care for one another, so that makes us much easier. But at the natural man that's in me is a little frightened. So I'd like to start with scripture in Matthew chapter 18. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. In this scripture, we've read this before, and we're told that we should humble ourselves as a little child, and that this is necessary if we are to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on and he, in the fifth verse, and he says, Whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. And I always thought, and when I read this scripture, I always thought of Jesus referring to the little child that was brought before him. But I had a thought that he may be referring to the person who's actually humbled himself and referring to them as the child. And if you think of it in that manner, that if there's a servant of God who has humbled himself, that he is as a little child and is out doing the Lord's work, and someone receives him in that fashion, they do receive Jesus Christ. So I think it's very important for those of us that are in the missionary or in the ministry, whether we're out doing missionary work or whether we're in our locals, and whatsoever thing we're doing for God and Christ, that we remember to do those things in humility. And we have examples of that. We have Christ himself, who was humble. And because of his humility, he was received by many. And many have received salvation because of that. I'd like to read in Mosiah chapter first chapter, starting in the 115th verse. For behold, as in Adam, or by nature, they fell, even so the blood of Christ atoneth for their sins. And moreover, I say unto you that there shall be no other name given, nor any other way or means whereby salvation can come unto the children of men, only and through the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord omnipotent. For behold, he judgeth, and his judgment is just, and the infant perish not that dieth in his infancy. But man drinketh damnation to their own souls, except they humble themselves and become as little children, and believe that salvation was and is to come in and through the atoning blood of Christ, the Lord omnipotent. For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. But if he yieldeth unto the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man, and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ, the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. And moreover, I say unto you that the time shall come when the knowledge of the Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And behold, when that time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except it be little children only through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord God omnipotent. Here in Mosiah, it's explained to us that the natural man is at enmity to God, and the natural man isn't very humble. And it's explained to us that if the natural man, or if we would yield ourselves to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, putteth off the natural man, and becometh a saint, being meek and submissive and humble, that in the last day, when Christ comes and we're found as one of these children, we'll be found blameless. So it's not in our nature to be humble. It's not in our nature to do as Christ did, to lay down his life for others. As Christ was obedient unto his heavenly Father and did all things as the Lord commanded him to do, that's not a natural thing for us to do. And that's something that we have to bring into submission. And it's our pride many times that gets in the way of that obedience and that submission. But we're promised through Scripture that if we can put off that natural man and sufficiently humble ourselves in those things, that we'll have salvation, and the Lord will bless us, and we'll be found spotless in the last days. And in taking on that humility, just to say that the humility alone puts us in that state is to say that to have humility, we're obedient unto the Lord, we're faithful unto God, and that we have charity, and that we're long-suffering, and all those things that we know that we must have to have salvation. In order to have all those things, we must be humble. Like to read again in James. The fourth chapter, starting in the first verse. From whence came wars and fightings among you? They came not hence even of your lusts that war in your members. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, ye know not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. And whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture which saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. It says here that in the fourth verse, it says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? And so when I think of myself in humility, I think about friendship of the world. Those things that I have in my life that are partway into the world. Because if I were truly humble, I would put those things off. I would put the natural man into submission, and I would not be a friend to the world. And we have things, each of us, I believe, in our lives that cause us to be at different times to be a friend in the world. Those things when we take part of, well, you know what they are. We each can look within ourselves and find those things that we shouldn't do, those things that cause us to war within our members, those things that are wants that become lusts. There's things like gambling, movies, alcohol, anything that can become something that's a vice, anything that can get in between the relationship you have with your Heavenly Father. Those things that the natural man convinces us that are good. And I've caught myself, and I'm guilty of some of those things. I enjoy a movie once in a while, and I tell myself when I'm watching the movie, this one's okay, but there'll be a part of it that's objectionable, and I shouldn't be watching it. And so then pride creeps up, and I justify it, and I say, oh, it's not that bad. Nah, it's a G movie. It's okay. Or it's PG. Or whatever the case it is. And that's pride that comes up and tells me that it's okay. And that's the natural man that's talking to me, because he enjoys the movie more than his communion with his Heavenly Father. And that's what we do. We justify and we excuse. And that natural man convinces us that it's okay. Everybody else does it. I'm not any different. no worse than the next guy. And after all, who's to tell me what's right and what's wrong? And does that start to sound prideful to you when I say that? It is. But that's the humanness that's in us. And it's easy to do. And it's at odds with our Heavenly Father. We each need to look within ourselves. And I have things that I need to set aside, and I know that there are others here that as they look within themselves, they'll find those things that they need to set aside. But it's necessary that we do those things. I'd like to read in Alma, page 381. I'd like to start in the 13th chapter, second verse. Now the Lamanites and the Amalekites and the people of Ammon had built a great city, which was called Jerusalem. Now the Lamanites of themselves were sufficiently hardened, but the Amalekites and the Amulites were still harder. Therefore they did cause the Lamanites that they should harden their hearts, that they should wax strong in wickedness and their abominations. And it came to pass that Aaron came to the city of Jerusalem and firstly began to preach to the Amalekites. And he began to preach to them in their synagogues, for they had built synagogues after the order of the Nehors. For many of the Amalekites and the Amulonites were after the order of Nehors. Therefore, as Aaron entered into one of their synagogues to preach unto the people, and as he was speaking unto them, behold, there arose an Amalekite and began to contend with him, saying, What is that that thou hast testified? Hast thou seen an angel? Why do not angels appear unto us? Behold, are not this people as good as thy people? Thou also sayest, except we repent, we shall perish. How knowest thou the thought and the intent of our heart? How knowest thou that we have cause to repent? How knowest thou that we are not a righteous people? Behold, we have built sanctuaries, and we do assemble ourselves together to worship God. We do believe that God will save all men. Now Aaron said unto him, Believest thou that the Son of God shall come to redeem mankind from their sins? And the man saith unto him, We do not believe that thou knowest any such thing. We do not believe in these foolish traditions. That sounds like a pretty proud people. Aaron was a servant of God. If we read in the 12th chapter of Alma, we can read about Aaron and how he fasted and he prayed and he humbled himself. And his father wanted to confer the kingdom upon him and his brothers, but they chose not. So much like Christ, they humbled themselves and went out to deliver the gospel or take the gospel unto the Lamanites. And he was met with pride. And so he was like the child who had humbled himself, and they wouldn't receive him. So they were rejecting the kingdom of heaven. But in reading that, and reading the proud boastings and the proud rebuttal, can you see a little bit of yourself? Can you see yourself saying, how do you know what's in my heart? Who are you to tell me what's right? Who are you to tell me that you're better than I am? And that's a common attitude. And that's an attitude that exists in all men. It's an attitude that is part of that natural man. It's part of what we need to put into subjection. And so how many times have you heard from the pulpit messages from our Heavenly Father giving us instruction of what we should do, the things we need to put out of our lives, not just those things that I've mentioned, but there are many more. There are more ways to sin under this heaven than can be numbered on in any book. But when we're asked to put those things away, do you justify how you live and what you're doing, thinking, well, who is he? He's no better than I am. I don't need to listen to him. Who's to say I'm not as righteous as he is? Or how can he tell what's in my heart? And in fact, those things are true. But we use them to satisfy our lusts and to give us an excuse. And it separates us from our Heavenly Father. I'd like to read a little bit more there. Beginning again in the 12th verse. We do not believe that thou knowest of things to come, neither do we believe that thy fathers and also that our fathers did know concerning the things which they spake of that which is to come. Now Aaron began to open the scriptures unto them concerning the coming of Christ and also concerning the resurrection of the dead. And there could be no redemption, or there could be no redemption for mankind save it were through the death and sufferings of Christ and the atonement of his blood. And it came to pass that he began to expound these things unto them, and they were angry with him and began to mock him, and they would not hear the words which he spake. Therefore, when he saw that they would not hear these words, he departed out of the synagogues and came over unto a village which was called Anti, and they found Molochi preaching the word unto them, and also Emma, his brother, and they continued with many about the word. Contended with many about the word. And so they met more people that were prideful in their hearts. And it came to pass that they saw that the people would harden their hearts. Therefore they departed and came over into the land of Midoni. And they preached the word unto many, and a few believed on the words which they taught. Well, we could read on a little bit further, and we would read that they were eventually tossed into prison. And later on, through the grace of God, were set free. But the point that I wanted to get there from the rest of that was that he preached the entire gospel. He taught them of the resurrection of the dead and the redemption of mankind. And yet they still ignored it, and they were hardened. And I know we're not in that situation. I know that we believe in the gospel that Christ brought to us. We believe in the resurrection. We believe in redemption and salvation and forgiveness. And we believe in the need for repentance. And we believe all those things that are principles of the gospel. But we still have this one little problem, and that's the pride. And when I read about people like this, and I think about the parable of the servant, when his master returned, and found the servant that knew all the commandments of God, and knew what it was that he should be doing, and found him not doing those things, and told him that his portion would be with the unbeliever. So I have to think in those terms. And it seems hard, but nevertheless, the scriptures tell me that it's true. Must do as Christ asks us to do. And if we can't find a way, or if we are not found sufficiently humble in those last days, our portion will be with those unbelievers. And we all know that it is only through grace that Christ, or that we do have, that Christ gives us, that we do have salvation. After all, it is that we can do. But yet we still need to humble ourselves and not allow our pride to stand in our way. I'd like to continue a little bit more in the fourth chapter of James and pick it up again. Pick it up again in the fifth verse. Do ye think that the scriptures saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Seek not evil one for another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother, and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Therefore, there is one lawgiver, who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? We're told to cleanse ourselves and to humble ourselves, to purify our hearts and not to be double-minded. but yet not to judge one another. And be a doer of the law and not the judge. And I don't intend to stand up here and judge anybody. I know I'm as guilty as the next guy. Like I said, I found that this sermon was as much for myself as anybody else. I'd like to go to Luke chapter 18. 9th verse. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as the other man, as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For what everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We need to be careful that we don't find ourselves as this Pharisee, letting the natural man tell us that we do these things. We attend church on Sunday. We go to prayer service. We study our scripture. We don't do a lot of the things that many people in the world do. And we say, I thank God that I'm not a sinner, or that I'm not like this other man. Yet there are those things that many of us have in our lives that pull us away into the world and pull us away from God. So we can, if we are not careful, be very much like this man in the parable. So there's a great need for us to find humility and to keep it, and to remember our nothingness, and to remember that we are just men, that we all have a space and time that we walk upon this earth. We all suffer the same afflictions. We all suffer the same temptations, the same weaknesses. And we need to remember those things with humility and strengthen one another. I'd like to read in Philippians second chapter, starting in the first verse. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things, But let every man also be on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ humbled himself and was obedient. We are to have the mind of Christ. That natural man that dwells within us resists that. It resists the mind of Christ. And the only way that we can have that mind of Christ is if we bring that natural man into submission. And we submit it unto God in all the things that we do. Not in part, but in all things. It says here that Christ was obedient. He did all things that his Father did or commanded him. He didn't do it in part. He did it all. He didn't say in himself, well, I'll just do 99% of it and leave off part. He needed it all. And because he did it all, he was great in the eyes of the Lord. And God gave to him his kingdom. In the 9th verse, it says, wherefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the time of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that it may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Well, we're not in much different situation. We're in a world that should hate us. We're in a world that pulls at us. We should be, as it says here, a light unto the world. So we must find a way to humble ourselves. That begins with obedience. In not allowing our pride to convince us otherwise. I don't believe that Christ would have been able to serve God if he had been proud. Well, we know what happened to Satan. Because of his pride, he was cast down from heaven. Let's not follow the example of Satan. I'd like to go to in the Book of Mormon, 2nd chapter of Nephi. page 160. I'm sorry, that's the wrong. Second Nephi, 13th chapter. Starting in the 13th verse. Wherefore, my beloved father, or beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus, save we shall be willing to keep the commandments of the Father? And the Father saith, repent ye, and be ye baptized in the name of my Son, my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, He that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost, like unto me. Wherefore, follow me, and do the things which ye have seen me do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, it says full purpose of heart, not in part, but full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception. No hypocrisy. Saying one thing and doing another. And no deception. Not deceiving ourselves. Not allowing that natural man to convince us otherwise. To convince us that what we should not be doing is okay before God. But with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and Savior down into the water according to his word. And then ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and then can ye speak with the tongue of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. But behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, after that ye have repented of your sins and witnessed unto the Father that ye are willing to keep my commandments by the baptism of water, and have received the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and can speak with a new tongue, yea, even with the tongue of angels, and after this should deny me, it would have been better for you that ye had not known me. And I heard a voice from the Father saying, yea, the words of my beloved Son are true and faithful. And he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved, unless a man shall endure till the end, in following the example of the Son, of the giving of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you, that I have seen, that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shown unto me, that ye might know the gate by which ye should enter. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life, and ye have entered in by the gate, yea, and ye have entered in by the gate, yea, ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye entered in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay. For ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way, nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, which is one God, without end. Amen. If there's anyone who is contemplating baptism and thinking that whether they should or should not do that, well, there it is. It's the only way. It's a commandment of our Heavenly Father. And it is the only way that we can enter into his kingdom, that we would be obedient, and that obedience begins with repentance, begins with going down into the waters and being baptized and receiving the name of Christ. And it continues, and because of that we have remission of sin. And if that obedience continues and we endure to the end, we'll have salvation. I'd like to go to the fifth chapter of Ether. It's on page 747. I'd like to start with the 22nd verse of the fifth chapter. And it is by faith that my fathers have obtained the promise that these things should come unto their brethren through the Gentiles. Therefore the Lord hath commanded me, yea, even Jesus Christ. And I said unto him, Lord, the Gentiles will mock at these things because of our weaknesses in writing. For, Lord, thou hast made us mighty in word by faith, whereunto thou hast not made us mighty in writing. For thou hast made all this people that they could speak much because of the Holy Ghost, which thou hast given them. And thou hast made us that we could write but little because of the awkwardness of our hands. Behold, thou hast not made us mighty in writing, like unto the brother of Jared, for thou madest him that the things which he wrote were mighty, even as thou art unto the overpowering of man to read them. Thou hast also made our words powerful and great, even that we can not write them. Wherefore, when we write, we behold our weaknesses and stumble because of the placing of our words. And I fear lest the Gentiles shall mock at our words. And when I had said this, the Lord spake unto me, saying, Fools mock, but they shall mourn, and my grace is sufficient for the meek, that they shall take no advantage of your weakness. And if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weaknesses. We have weaknesses. Our Heavenly Father knows that, and He tells us that. And these weaknesses are part of that natural man. And if we will go to our Father, He will show us our weaknesses. And I give unto men that they, and I give unto men weaknesses, that they may humble them, be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. So our Heavenly Father will show us our weaknesses. If we will humble ourselves and be submissive, be obedient, follow after Jesus Christ, subjecting the natural man to submission, then those weaknesses will be made strong. And they won't burden us. They won't be there to tear us away. They won't be there in our members lusting, causing us to do those things that we wish that we didn't or would not do. Behold, I show unto the Gentiles their weaknesses, and I will show unto them that have faith, hope, faith, hope, and charity, bringeth unto me the foundation of all righteousness. And I, Moroni, having heard these words, was comforted and said, O Lord, thy righteousness will be done, for I know that thou workest unto the children of men according to their faith. For the brother of Jared said unto the mountain Zerin, remove, and it was removed. Our Heavenly Father gives us weaknesses. He asks us to humble ourselves. And He is at odds with the natural man that is within us. But it's not His desire that we remain in this state. It's just as we just read, that He will show us our weaknesses and He will make them strong. He desires to lift us up, and He desires that we would be a light unto the world. But it's not for our glory, it is for His. And so it is requisite that we humble ourselves and that we put the pride aside and that we take a good, honest look at ourselves and set aside the hypocrisy and the deceivings and be honest and ask our Father, and He will show us what we should do and what we need, and is up to every one of us to do that. We cannot enter into His kingdom in pride. We must be submissive. And we have begun, many of us have begun to go down that road. We were obedient, went into the waters of baptism, and we repented. But we must continue. And if there is anyone who is considering baptism, that is the first step. So take courage. If there's something that's withholding you from baptism, some weakness, you're not alone. And your Heavenly Father won't leave you alone, and He'll stand by you, and He will make you strong. But baptism is just the beginning. We don't start out perfect. Only God knows who is perfect, if any, other than Christ.
and we are all on this journey together.
Pray for me. I'll pray for you.
Thank you very much, Rick. I believe that we witnessed the words that I said earlier about Rick being a humble individual. I believe that he is humble before God. He touched upon a lot of scriptures this evening, which touched my heart, but in James, he brought some words to us that actually really puts the burden on each one of us. As we become a Christian and try to improve our lives, we have to make the first step. And it says there in James, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, God's not going to just reach down and snatch you out of your problems and your burdens. We have to make a step, and that burden is on your shoulders. I got one scripture that I would like to read. Why, I don't know. But it's also found in James, 5th chapter. It says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. I think that we need to consider those words that Rick gave to us and consider those words in James that we need to take the first step. I would like to just say those words to the young people that just came home from camp. But we each and every one, even myself, has been a Christian in the church for 20-some years. I have to make that step too, toward God and away from the resistance of the devil. The announcements